Proverbs 4:11. He says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Let's look at that first clause there. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I want you to notice something here, and it's interesting when you start paying attention to little things in the verse, and that's the advantage of going through a study like this where you're going verse by verse, and especially sometimes when you get verses like this where there's just not a whole lot of things that just jump out at you like super profoundly, then you start looking and digging into the details and you find neat stuff, I think. I want you to notice that Solomon had already taught, past tense, his son in the way of wisdom. I have taught thee. So in the past, he had taught him. Yet he exhorted him in the verse we just read there in verse 10 to hear and receive his sayings. Now, of course, when he's exhorting him there in verse 10, that's not him teaching him in the past. That's what he just did presently here, right? So in the past, he had taught him, and then he is telling him again to hear and to receive his sayings. In other words, he's repeating himself. And from that, we can learn some lessons here. Number one, we learn because Solomon, remember, primarily, this is Solomon writing to his son. So lesson number one, a father's job of teaching his children, especially when they're still under his roof, is never done, right? You keep repeating things. You keep teaching because, kids forget, right? You ever told Braden something and he didn't hear what you said?
No.
The sound waves bounce off the eardrums, but it doesn't get inside there.
Yeah.
Well, you got to keep telling him, right? Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's 6, he won't depart from it. Yeah. That's not what it says, is it? No. When he is old, he will not depart from it. So it's a long job. Doesn't take much time to make a baby, but it takes a long time to train one up, like probably 18 or 20 years. In some cases, 40 or 50, unfortunately, in our generation, if they're lucky. The same is also true of a pastor. A pastor's job of teaching is never done. It's not like, oh, I've taught on that before, I never need to mention it again. Because, sometimes people forget. Sometimes they didn't hear it the first time. Maybe you weren't feeling well, you were tired, somebody distracted you, you daydreamed. Right? We all do that. That happens. I used to feel almost apologetic when I would say something that I had said before and just think, man, do they think I'm just repeating myself, just saying the same things over and over again? And then after several times of having people ask me the same question over again, that when I know, like the same person asked me the same question, and sometimes they knew that they'd asked me the same question, and they just, I just can't remember that, and then I go over it again. Or sometimes I get the same question that they didn't remember they'd asked me before, and I clearly already answered it. Or whenever I would repeat something in a sermon, and in my mind I'm feeling bad about, like, oh, I know I've said this before. And then afterwards they're like, oh, that's really neat, I never heard that before. And then I realized, well, it's probably okay to repeat yourself once in a while, because, it just doesn't click the first time sometimes, or the second or the third sometimes. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11 says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. So Paul was like a father to these brethren in Thessalonica that he had converted. And just like a father, he exhorted, comforted, charged them. And he didn't do it just once either. And we'll get to that here in just a second. Look in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And this verse here will tell us implicitly, not really explicitly necessarily, but implicitly, it will tell us why the need for continued teaching, for repeating things and reiterating things. And here's the reason. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. This is speaking of the gifts that the Lord gave to the church. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So to perfect means to complete. So for perfecting of the saints, that never ends, right? I mean, are any of you perfect? I'm not perfect. right? And I don't mean perfect as in sinless. Of course, none of us are that way. But are any of us perfect, complete? That we all understand the Bible fully? Do we all practice it perfectly, you know, entirely? And there's nothing lacking in us? Of course not. So that job is never going to be complete. For the edifying of the body of Christ, that's the building up, right? And that job is never done either, because we can always grow a little bit more, right? So we're never fully edified. And here's when you can quit. And you'll see here that this is an unattainable goal. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So I guess as soon as each of you attain to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, then I can retire and not teach anymore. And unless, assuming there's no new people coming in. So as soon as you guys get there, then I'll just quit teaching. But I think I have pretty good job security. I don't think I have to worry about that.
Even when we get to heaven, we're going to learn about Jesus.
That's right.
Throughout all of eternity.
That's what it says in Ephesians 2. That in the ages to come, he said, Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So yeah, the riches of Christ are unsearchable, and we're going to have ages and ages in eternity to learn about him. So yeah, that's why a pastor's job is never done, and a parent's job is never done. At least, you know, for those years the kids are under your roof, your job is never done. And just because you've heard something before, this would be the next lesson from this verse, just because you've heard something before doesn't mean that your children or church members heard and received it. And Paul experienced this in Ephesians 3 and verse 2. He says in verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. If ye've heard of it. He doesn't presume or assume that they have heard. He says, if ye've heard of it. Now, he's obviously told them about it. But whether they heard it or not is another story. Who knows? Depends how late they were up the previous night. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 5. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 5. He says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So when you say something like that to somebody, you're assuming that it's probably a good chance that they might not have remembered, right? Remember ye not? That's a question. I told you this before, but did you get it the first time? That's probably why he's telling them again. And then in Hebrews 12, in verse 5, it just says flat out, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. But they had forgotten. Now that's a dangerous thing to forget right there. When you forget that God will rebuke and chasten you, if you disobey, you're going to be in trouble, because that means you're just going to start not worrying about what God says about something and doing whatever you want. And it's kind of like whenever kids forget that a spanking will come if they do this certain thing. They were told last time, but they forgot. And then they're reminded whenever their butt starts hurting again.
The spanking, right, they don't typically forget.
That's right, yes.
They forget fake ones.
Yes, right, exactly. So thus the need for repetition. So I'll give you three verses here. This is, of course, referring to pastors teaching the word, but would also, you'd be wise to take heed to this when it comes to teaching your own children as well. 2 Peter 3 and verse 1 says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So he had written the first epistle, which was 1 Peter. Now he's writing another one to him, and he's stirring up their pure minds by remembrance. And he says, in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, which means that he was reminding them of what he had taught them previously in the first epistle. Like, what I mean is the first epistle reminded them of what he had taught them before he gave them the first epistle. And then in the second epistle, he's reminding them again of what he reminded them in the first epistle. So this is really their second reminder, or at least the third time that he's told them these things. In Jude 1 and verse 5 is almost a parallel book to 2 Peter chapter 2. So when you read through 2 Peter chapter 2, if you want a commentary on it, read the book of Jude, because they talk of many of the same things. Jude 1 and verse 5, Jude says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." Jude knows that they knew this at one time. So it wasn't a matter of him thinking, well, they probably didn't hear it, I'll tell them again. No, not only did you hear it, you knew it, but I'm going to tell you again. Because apparently whoever he was writing to here was showing evidence that they didn't remember. And when you start forgetting things like God saved the people out of the land of Egypt and then destroyed them because they believed not afterwards, when you start forgetting things like that, you're in for trouble, because you're going to forget that you were purged from your old sins. You were going to forget the goodness that God gave to you, and you're going to go and sin against him or disbelieve his word, and the same thing's going to happen. That's why we need the constant reminders. And I'll give you one more. Philippians 3 and verse 1. Philippians 3, 1. There's also a passage in one of the Gospels that says that a wise scribe bringeth out things both new and old. So a wise scribe, he teaches new things, and he also goes back and covers the old again as well. Philippians 3 and verse 1. He says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." And I kind of feel like that whenever I preach and I cover things that I covered before. To me, it's not grievous. I don't mind doing it. You know, I wouldn't want to preach the same sermon every single Sunday over and over again. That would get old and laborious, I'm sure. But it's not grievous to me, and I think it's safe for you. So that's why I sometimes repeat myself. And then the other thing, so the fifth thing that we can learn here by Solomon saying that he had taught these things to him and he's now teaching them again, is that current teaching builds upon previous teaching. And the Bible teaches this as well in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. So this is why it's important to grasp what's being taught in the present, because chances are you're going to be able to build on that for future teaching. You're going to be able to plug that in to future teaching. And so the more you learn and the more you hear, the more you're going to understand. If you think about it, if you didn't know anything about the Bible, like nothing, and you heard an average sermon of mine, you'd probably get not a whole lot from it. If you didn't even know what the Bible was, you didn't know who Jesus was, you didn't know who the apostles were, you didn't know who Abraham or Moses were, you didn't know anything, it would just sound like another, like a foreign language to you almost. So the more you understand, the more you will get out of the sermons. So that's why it's important to study on your own, to learn, you know, to pay attention to what you've been taught, and to try to hide that away in your heart so that you'll have stepping stones to grow and to learn more. Matthew 28, 19 through 20, Jesus said, these were his parting words before he left this earth. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Did you notice there? He says, teach all nations, and then baptize. So that teaching there happens before they're even fully converted, right? You teach them enough so that they can get baptized. Then you baptize them. And then in verse 20, teaching them, this is after baptism, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So it's interesting, implied in this is that you teach them enough to get baptized, which you don't need to know everything. You don't need to know all things whatsoever Christ commanded us, because there's a whole lot in there. I mean, you could take me a long time to teach some new convert all things that Christ commanded, when you include all the writings of the New Testament, there's a lot in there, right? But once they get baptized, then they start coming to church. That's the whole point, right? Baptism adds you to the church. And then you get to hear all things whatsoever Christ commanded. And I've got weeks and months and years to expound it all. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 3. That's why it's important to get baptized, be a member of the church, attend regularly, because that's where your learning comes. That's where you learn all things whatsoever Christ commanded. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit." So he says we want to lay aside the principles. He lists off the six principles there. And once we've got those down, let's move on and start covering some other stuff, right? So current teaching builds upon previous teaching. But you have to have the principles, which are the foundation. You got to have those down first. And then you can move on unto perfection, as he says. Now, I want you to notice also that Solomon taught his son in the way of wisdom. He says, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom." He didn't focus his teaching in the way of sports, or in the way of trivia, or in the way of hunting and fishing, or in the way of recreation, or in the way of mechanical skills. He didn't even focus his teaching in the way of secular education. Now, any of those things that I just mentioned are perfect, well, some of them anyway, are perfectly fine to teach your children. I'm not sure teaching them trivia is all that great, and teaching them recreation, I suppose if they're by nature a workaholic or something, which most children are not, you don't really need to teach kids about recreation, probably. Maybe you need to teach them not to do too much of it, because that's what they would want to do by nature. But anyway, sports, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a little bit to be learned there. But, you know, teaching them mechanical skills, yeah. Teaching them how to do manly things and build things and fix things and maintain things, yeah, that's all important. Teaching them how to hunt and fish, not only is it enjoyable, but it also can provide food for you. And, you know, worst comes to worst, it could be your survival. So, yeah, I mean, that's all good things to teach. Of course, secular scholastic education is good things to teach. But that wasn't Solomon's focus. His focus was he taught him in the way of wisdom. That's the most important thing. So as long as you make sure you're doing that, you're covering that base, then anything extra you want to teach, that's great. Right, and there's lots of other things you should teach. But you always want to make sure you're getting that one down. Christian fathers should follow his lead and focus mainly on training their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Remember, that's what it says there in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. He says there, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, of course, if you're doing that and you're teaching them everything that the Bible teaches, you're going to teach them how to be a good worker, and you're going to teach them how to any number of things, right? I mean, there's even instruction when it would come to hunting, right? That the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, right? I mean, even like you were talking about teaching Braden how to take care of the dogs, right? And you taught him that scripture that the righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. So when you're teaching him the Bible, yeah, it's going to cover all kinds of stuff, probably almost everything that he needs to learn. And, you know, and then the more technical things, then you can just cover that along the way. And then he says, second clause here of Proverbs 4:11, "I have led thee in right paths." Now, notice something here, that Solomon did not just instruct his son verbally in the ways of wisdom. It says he led him in right paths. Right, so first he instructed, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom," but then also, "I have led thee." That's really important. In other words, he taught by example as well as by precept. And that's the most important way to teach. Sometimes you have to teach by precept, but you always need to make sure that you're teaching by example. Because if you're not, your words are going to probably fall on deaf ears, because who wants to listen to a hypocrite? Who wants to listen to somebody who tells you to do something that he doesn't do himself? It'd be like getting a lecture from the federal government on how to balance your budget or something. Right? Who's going to listen to that? The pastor must also lead by example. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 4:12, he says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity." So, in other words, in most every way, right, in the way you act, the way you speak, the way you live, everything, right, be an example. That's what a pastor's supposed to be. And you know what? Fathers should be the same way to their children. Parents should be the same way to their children. Older ladies in the church should be the same way to younger ladies in the church, right? They're supposed to teach them, we're told in the book of Titus. We should all be examples. So in order to teach your children in the way of wisdom, which is making good decisions, as we've been over so many times, you must show them how to do it by making wise decisions yourself. Right? You're not going to teach your son to be wise if you yourself make stupid decisions. Right, and your children will figure that out pretty quickly. They're not dumb. They can perceive and pick up a lot of things that I think that we don't realize that they perceive and pick up. Right, sometimes maybe until it's too late. As the old saying goes, actions speak louder than words. Fred Hodgins' dad he's a member there in the Detroit church. His dad used to tell him that every man has two tongues. Pay attention to the one in his shoe. Right, pay attention to what he actually does. Not so much to what he says. You can't expect your children to do as I say, not as I do. Right? Now, there could be times when that is applicable. Right? If your son is 2 years old and you're sipping on some bourbon or something just because you like to do so for enjoyment, and he says, "Daddy, can I have some bourbon?" You say, "No, not yet, son. This is for me because I'm an adult and you can't have any." Right? That's not being a hypocrite. Right, but you know, we could think of any number of other examples that would not be the same thing. So you want to show your children how to be wise, not just tell them how to be wise. And that takes care of verse 11.